I'm Lisa Morgan, Saturday afternoon host and co-host of The Weekly Reader here on WYPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Find out more and donate at WYPR.org. And thanks.
And good afternoon. Welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Reaction from the Maryland congressional delegation to President Trump's decision to bomb Iranian nuclear facilities is split along party lines. Representative Andy Harris, the only Republican in the delegation, voiced support for the president's decision. Representative Johnny Olszewski Jr., a member of the House Foreign Relations Committee, said in a statement that the Constitution is clear. Only Congress has the authority to approve any sustained military action. Congresswoman Sarah Elfrith, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, voiced similar concerns, saying, "The president owes the Congress and the American people a clear strategy that protects the safety of our service members, diplomats, and innocent civilians." Senator Angela Alsobrooks said in a statement yesterday, "We have seen over the course of two decades how difficult it is to end a war in the Middle East. The path to ensuring Iran does not acquire a nuclear weapon, an objective we all share, is paved with diplomacy. The president has bragged for years about his deal-making prowess. Now he must prove his mettle." And Senator Chris Van Hollen echoed those sentiments as well, saying the U.S. intelligence community has repeatedly assessed that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon. There was more time for diplomacy to work. There are about 40,000 American troops in the Middle East who are on high alert that Iran might retaliate. Iran has threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz, which could derail global shipping and cause a spike in oil prices. Israel has continued bombing Tehran and other targets yesterday and today. I'll be speaking with Congressman Johnny Olszewski Jr. later this week, along with Dr. Trita Parsi, an Iranian-born scholar who is the founder of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. So stay tuned to midday and to WIPR for the latest developments in the Middle East. Also, later today, Baltimore City Police Commissioner Richard Worley will release the body-worn camera footage from the officers who fatally shot a popular Arabber, B.J. Abdullah, last week. One of those officers was shot in the foot during that incident. That press conference is scheduled for 2 o'clock this afternoon. Turnaround Tuesdays is a program initiated 10 years ago by BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. In 4 locations around the city, the program connects formerly incarcerated people and others with skills and employers who hire them and help change the direction of their lives. A couple of months ago, Turnaround Tuesdays opened its newest location in Park Heights. Melvin Wilson is the executive director of the program. He joins me here in Studio B to talk about the program and the people that it serves. You are welcome to join us. Our number here at midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Melvin Wilson, good to meet you and good to have you in. Thanks for coming.
Tom, thank you. I'm so glad to be here on behalf of my board and my staff and all the participants that we serve across the city. We're very excited to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, 4 locations, the latest in Park Heights. When someone goes to a location on a Tuesday, what do they encounter?
So it's not your typical workforce development entity where you walk in, you fill out a piece of paper, go on the computer. Everything that we do wraps around our 4 core values. We're relational, intentional, connection, and impact. So when someone will come in, and it's not your usual workforce development, you'll sit through a bunch of folks that a room of about 50 or 60 people, and you're just experiencing something different. We have various training classes such as knowing your values, public-private relationships, conflict, decision-making, leadership, all these things. A lot of these concepts come from BUILD, Baltimore's United in Leadership Development. Not only do we help people get jobs, but we also create leaders in the community.
And when you talk about the values, when you say helping folks get to know their values, Talk about why that's a challenge sometimes.
Sure. All of us have something to offer. As you stated, about 65% of the people that we serve are what we call returning citizens or ex-offenders. Even though people have committed crimes, they also deserve the opportunity to move forward with their lives. And we tell folks when you go on interviews, you know, you don't have to lead with the fact that you're a returning citizen. Lead with the fact that you're a father or you're a brother or you've worked. Even if you worked inside of the prison, you know, you had a job, you have value, you show up to this institution providing value to that organization. And at the end of the day, your expectation is a paycheck.
And it really is important how you tell that story. I mean, the way you shape and frame what your story is. Everybody has a story that includes stuff they're proud of, stuff they're not so proud of.
Right. So storytelling actually is another one of our classes that we teach. We tell folks, don't run from your story. Utilize your story to your advantage. You know, we learn a lot of things about our stories. We continue to grow in our life.
We had a conversation. Our producer, Sam Burmes-Dawes, had a conversation with one of the guys who's been in Bill. This is Ronald Smith. And this is what he related when he was talking about his first encounter with Bill.
Initially, I was like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But since attending Turnaround Tuesday, their classes and being coached, I feel that they are sincere. They help us with new ideas about character, you know, behavior, building relationships. Again, they always inform us of how we can relate to one another. So don't be discouraged, you know, to accept the help, you know, and see it all the way through.
Yeah, that business of relationships so important for anybody who's going to be taken up by an employer, right? I mean, you got to nail that part.
Right. And when we say relationship, it's just not the relationship between Turnaround Tuesday and the individual. It's also the Turnaround Tuesday's relationship with the employer, helping the employer understand that folks have done their time. It's time for them to get a second chance. They're ready to go to work. And our training has really helped the employers on their bottom line because over a two-year period at our anchor institutions, we have a 70% retention rate. So if you think about from the business standpoint, that's affecting the bottom line of these anchor institutions. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, because they're spending the time training and acclimating and, you know, onboarding, as they say, you know, all these folks, and you don't want them leaving after
exactly.
2 months. Yeah, that's great. So who are some of these anchor institutions? Who are some of the partners that you work with to place people in jobs?
So one of our longstanding employers is Johns Hopkins, both University and Hospital, University of Maryland, both University and Hospital, MedStar, LifeBridge. We work with we have a cadre of about 35 total employers that we work with, and 98% of them are ex-offender friendly.
Ronald Smith talked a little bit also about the fact that when he was part of Turnaround Tuesday, it opened up some opportunities that he had not considered heretofore. Here's what he had to say about that.
I can say that for myself, I had an opportunity for some employment, but the employment that I had an opportunity to have wasn't what I wanted to do. And I just felt like that Turnaround Tuesday afforded me the opportunity to not have to settle. That gave me more options, you know, and if as long as I'm patient, that I could possibly end up with a career-oriented employment, you know, where I have room for growth and also a living wage.
You know, the notion of looking ahead to see what the opportunities, what the possibilities are, what the horizon, you know, entails, oftentimes is difficult to do if you haven't been sort of, you know, helped along the way and directed in the right direction.
That's true. Many people that come through our doors said a place like Johns Hopkins was never on the radar. But we help these individuals get in the door, and the sky's the limit on where they can go. A lot of jobs certainly are entry-level positions, but we've had folks just get in the door and they've taken opportunities for other job openings within those institutions that have become available. So someone who, again, may have started in environmental services, which is pretty much housekeeping, is now a community health worker or a patient transport or something like that. So again, a lot of times getting in these anchor institutions is huge because you just want to get your foot in the door.
Melvin Wilson is the executive director of Turnaround Tuesdays. It's a job workforce development program that has four different locations around the city of Baltimore. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number, if you have a question or comment about Turnaround Tuesdays and workforce development programs in general, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. What's the employment situation? What's the job market like right now? I mean, the things are very uncertain in a lot of different sectors. We've got these institutions like Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland, the big educational institutions that are reeling because they've had grants withheld, canceled. Their budgets are clearly being affected. We hear about layoffs in a lot of these places. What are you finding in your program?
So again, it gets to the relationship that we have with the management at a lot of these institutions, knowing that the people that we continue to send to them will be productive employees. So most of on the hospital side, we've not been affected by layoffs. We believe the healthcare is still a necessity, and there's still some turnover in those positions. So we're always there to provide opportunities for folks. The university side, we certainly expect to certainly be part of the layoffs and understand that they're not going to be hiring certain positions until some of this straightens out. But we just have faith that things will come around and the opportunities will open back up again.
You know, over the years, as I've talked to people with Build, people with Turnaround Tuesdays in the various aspects of this program, it's not just learning about, you know, workforce development. It's not just knowing a skill to be able to present to an employer. It's about knowing yourself. It's about, you know, being in touch with yourself in a way, in a new way. Ronald Smith also spoke to our producer, Sam Burmes-Dawes, about that. This is what he had to say in that regard.
You know, I appreciate Turnaround Tuesday for, again, allowing me to be comfortable in myself, you know, and using my weaknesses and learn how to make them my strengths as well. Not being ashamed or afraid to share things about myself, but also knowing when and where to share them, you know, and allow employers to know that I'm human, you know. And a lot of times that's what they want, because everybody always has the same spiel, or I'm on dependable, I'm on time, you know, I'm a team worker, I'm a team player, all those great things, yes, but some employees want to know that you're human as well, you know, and it ain't all about, you know, the same rigmarole spiel that everybody gives.
You know, finding ways of, you know, simply being treated with dignity is very difficult for some people because of various circumstances in their lives. I mean, this is about the dignity of work and the dignity of humanity. I mean, that's always been the impressive things. One of the great impressive things about Turnaround Tuesdays is that there's it is premised in respect and dignity for people.
It is. So each one of our participants goes through a 30-hour, what we call essential skills. Is there some of what Mr. Smith said? This is where you learn your value, again, your agency. What do you bring to the table? Again, all of us show up with something. And then we also help our individuals become leaders in their community. Many folks have actually torn down their community in the past. Now you have an opportunity not only to repair it, but also to help your community move forward. So we've done a lot of things around advocating for people coming home from prison, around the repeal of the parole fees. We were a huge part of that. And because of that, now people do not have to pay the $52 a month parole fees that many of them didn't even have a job. So the expectations the payment was unrealistic.
Yeah, and of course, Build itself has been very involved, politically active, you know, pressing candidates for office to, you know, make promises about, you know, some of the very important issues in our city. But we should talk about what the relationship now between Turnaround Tuesdays and Build is. I mean, it started as a Build initiative. You were right up there at the ground floor 10 years ago. But what is the relationship between your program and the larger Build organization?
So we are now, as originally as you said, we grew out of Build. Again, we were birthed, they were our parent corporation. They're technically still the parent corporation according to the bylaws, but we have our own 501c3. where we're a separate entity. So now we are actually a member of Bill, which has over 40-plus members throughout the city and doing wonderful work. And Turnaround Tuesday is one of their largest institutions.
So with this new location that you've opened up in Park Heights, this adds to the one on the east side and the one on the west side. And the west side's been around for all 10 years. That was the first one, right?
The east side.
The east side was the first. Yeah. So, you know, 10 years, you've clearly learned a lot, right?
We have. We started at Zion Baptist Church in East Baltimore 10 years ago. Zion has since sold, and actually they brought a piece of property on 1600 block of Harford Avenue. We're going back there. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility where we can continue to grow Turnaround Tuesday. But we've been at a couple other sites, Memorial Baptist Church and Knox Presbyterian, where we're currently sitting in East Baltimore. And then in the afternoon on Tuesday, we go to Greater Harvest Baptist Church, which is in the 1600 block of West Saratoga Street. We've been there for about a year and 3 months. And once a month, we're at Steel Metal Fellowship, which is in the 5100 block of Frederick Road. And as you said, our newest location is at Browns Memorial Baptist Church, which is in the 3100 block of West Belvedere Avenue.
So these are located at churches, but are they programs of the church? What's the relationship with the church?
The church is just is where we just house the program. Again, it's not a religious program. We certainly value the spirituality of things, but we believe that people will respect the sanctity of the institution instead of going to a brick and mortar where they may not approach it with that same attitude. And it's been very helpful because, again, having the pastors there a lot of times in the room and people understanding that the community, this is all part of the community initiative. So we believe having a church gives us some sense of community and people believe in the sanctity of those institutions.
Melvin Wilson's the executive director of Turnaround Tuesdays. We're talking about workforce development. Again, our number here, if you want to hop into the conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. How would you say, Melvin, it has evolved, the program and the approach to the program? And we talk about, you know, what you've learned over the 10 years, because obviously you're not doing exactly the same way you were when you started.
Right.
What have you learned personally in this journey, and what do you think the program has learned over the years?
Personally, again, since I've been here since the beginning, I really understand that people are our biggest assets. I also believe that everyone deserves a second, third, fourth, fifth opportunity. All of us are one incident away from our lives changing forever. So when people come through our doors, there's no judgment. So we've grown again. We started 10 years ago with about a small group of about 8 people. We see on average about 110 people every week now. So the word has gotten out that not only do we help folks get jobs, we also help people have agency in their life and take part in this community. So our biggest recruiter are the people that come through our programs.
And in terms of public policy, in terms of what the city could do, the state, the federal government, what would you like to see if you could, you know, wave your magic wand when it comes to workforce development, when it comes to this kind of program? Is there a role for the public sector here?
Sure. I think the government itself can hire folks with records, be more intentional about it as our regular employees are. I think, you know, understanding that people, again, have done their time, let's give them a clean slate. You know, certainly we don't forget. Everybody knows people have records. But again, many folks have done 15, 20 years incarceration. They've done their time. And we found those folks are our hardest people, that when they get into the work site, they're doing the best jobs possible because they want to prove it not only to themselves, but prove it to society that they are ready to go back to work and take care of themselves and their families.
Can you give us an overall sense of the demographic of the folks that you're helping out?
Sure. We see about 50-50 men and women, about 96% African Americans, 65% folks with records. The average age, it changes year to year, but it's typically between 21 and 45 would be the average. So it's a wide range of people that we see.
And when they come to you, what are the typical first conversations like? You know, when a person walks in the door, and she's wondering what this Turnaround Tuesdays deal is about. How do those conversations, is there a typical way that those conversations start?
Yeah, they're pretty shocked, first of all, because they walk into a room with people sitting, 60 people sitting in a room. So that alone could be shocking. And then, you know, we actually have technology where they scan and they sign in and they have a seat. I mean, they go right into the seat and they're really put right into the active teaching that's going on. And afterwards, after we do the teaching, they actually go to an orientation before they leave. So you're sitting through it even before you get orientated on what the program's about. So again, it's not your typical workforce development. Again, it's about relationships, and they'll learn it. We have a phenomenal trainer that literally, when people leave, even guests that aren't even looking for a job, when they leave out of there, it's a wow factor. It's like, this has been an impressive 45 minutes or hour that I've just taken part in.
So generally, how long does a person, you know, attend the classes, get the training before she ends up being placed with an employer?
So it depends on the individual. We have some people that are ready to go to work. It could be somebody from the government that just got laid off or been working for 15, 20 years who may not need, they may need some brush up skills on resumes or interview. Or it's another person who may have been incarcerated for 20 years and hasn't worked in 20 years. So it's no set time, but on average, it's about 5 to 6 weeks before someone's ready to go to work. We don't want to send somebody to a Hopkins or a Maryland tomorrow and we don't know anything about them. And they go over there and mess up that relationship. So it's not even just about that individual. It's about the people that come behind them. So we want to make sure people are prepared. So they go through the 30-hour essential skills. At the end of that, we have an on-site hiring event where employers come to us, and these are the anchor employers. They come to us. On many occasions, they're offered an on-the-spot job, or and once they go through the background process, they're offered a job even with a record.
Because a lot of folks, you know, and I've talked to people involved with other workforce development organizations, there are some typical barriers to working. Childcare, transportation, do you have your GED, you know, that kind of stuff. How do you navigate those? How do you help people? Are you equipped to help people
Sure.
in those regards?
Yes. Everyone that comes to our doors is given an assessment, and we identify their barriers, and we determine what's next. If it's somebody that has a major, maybe it's mental health or it could be substance abuse, those folks in our eyes may not be ready to go to work. They need intervention first, and then we certainly want people to come back when they go. So we may refer them to a mental health therapist or refer them to some type of substance abuse program. But at the end of the day, we do follow those folks. They never leave us. And when they come back and ready to go to work, then we'll send them to work. So you name some of the other ones. Child support could be another one. Homelessness is another one. People show up with multiple barriers, but we try, between our staff, we try to make interventions in order to get them ready to go to work.
And it's important, I think, for folks to understand these locations matter.
Yep.
Because you're on the east side, on the west side, Park Heights, you got one other that does a monthly training. But you need to be near where people are. I mean, if you're on the east side and the only program is on the west side, it's not so easy getting there sometimes.
Correct. So that was part of the strategy. When we pick locations, we strategically done. So again, we're in three major sectors, in the Southwest being the outlier. But again, it's hard for somebody from Park Heights to get to Preston and Eden Street in East Baltimore. So we want to make it as easy for people as possible, at least to get their process started. They still may have that transportation barrier when they go to work, but we also provide tokens and things like that for the first couple of weeks till people get their job and get on their foot.
So as you look ahead, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, that might exhaust you. But as you look ahead, you know, with your from a perspective of optimism, I mean, what do you see? How do you see this program continuing to evolve?
I actually see it like literally sitting at a cookout and enjoying a hamburger or a turkey burger and just taking it all in and saying that our city is employed. That, you know, we've done everything we can to position people to be successful to go to work. You know, think if we can get rid of the stigma of people's records and, you know, really start to change the narrative around folks coming home from prison, I think our city will be in a better place.
And that's the thing that's great about this program, because you are making the case. You as an organization are making the case to these employers to say, you know, returning citizens need to be given a shot here. They need to be given a chance. They don't have to make that case on their own.
Right.
That case has already been made when they walk in the door. To have a conversation with them.
Sure.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a wonderful program, and congratulations on the new addition to the locations up in Park Heights. Melvin Wilson, the Executive Director of Turnaround Tuesdays. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure being on here today.
And up next, a legendary Olympian and civil rights icon, John Carlos, raised his fist on the medal podium in the 1968 Olympics, changing the way people viewed the civil rights movement and the way the movement made its case. John Carlos joins me on the other side of a quick break. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.